and you.
We will talk with the co-authors of the just published book, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, the soundtrack of the Vietnam War. And we'll welcome the music from that era that resonates most to you. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. For the American military who fought in the Vietnam War, music mattered. It was their tie back home and a way to escape the harsh realities of life in the field. For many soldiers, the war attached new and different interpretations to songs that civilians back home might not have even seen, and that artists like The Animals might not have even intended. We will talk about this new book, about the songs of the Vietnam War and the many meanings, and welcome your questions and your observations at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Doug Bradley. He is a Vietnam veteran, a former Army journalist, and a teacher of a Vietnam-related course at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Great to see you, Joy.
Good to have you back. Craig Werner is also with us. He is a professor and chair of Afro-American Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Thanks.
So, Doug, both of you were here 8 years ago when this was just an idea. It took a while, huh?
It was a great idea, and it did take a while, Joy. And I think that is really because of the intensity of the time, the quality of the music, and especially, I think, because of the testimony of the veterans who we've met over the course of 7, 8, 10 years. And it, I think for me and Craig, it was a matter of us finally getting the narrative in a way that we wanted to tell the story. But then, of course, to pull back and let the voices of the veterans come through as strong as testimony of the veterans who we've met over the course of 7, 8, 10 years. And it, I think for me and Craig, it was a matter of us finally getting the narrative in a way that we wanted to tell the story, but then, of course, to pull back and let the voices of the veterans come through as strong as possible. It took us a while to get there, and I think we're very happy with the way it turned out.
Yeah. Well, what was the significance of music to veterans who were in the Vietnam War, Doug? Or Craig?
I think there are three things that come through in the stories about Vietnam. Music provided them with a link to the home front, a memory of where they'd been, a hope for where they were going back, connection with their families, especially with the women and girls that they left behind. That, secondly, it provided a way of forming communities in Vietnam, of bonding with the other men and women who were there. And thirdly, it provided a way of making sense out of experiences that often didn't make any kind of sense at all. And then when they returned to the United States, music frequently played an active and central role in the way that they survived and in the long run healed the things they'd experienced.
Craig, you're right that We Gotta Get Out of This Place was the glue that held soldiers together. How did this come to be one of the most significant songs of the war?
By accident. The song was written by Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, great 60s songwriters, and they had written it as a follow-up for the Righteous Brothers, who just hit big with You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling, and they thought of it as a Get Out of the Ghetto song.
Really?
And the demo they sent us of Barry Mann playing, it would have been a number one
Terrific.
Hit without any question. Just beautiful. But they're songwriters, and so their manager sent a stack of songs to London, where the Animals manager found We Gotta Get Out of This Place. This is at the point when the Animals are moving down from their working class northern British town to London. He said, man, that's our story. So the Animals recorded it as a success story for a class story. And then when guys in Vietnam started hearing it, they made it theirs. Eric Burden told us a great story. He said he was at a bookstore near Fort Benning, Georgia, and some Green Berets came up to him. He said, oh, man, I'm a hippie. They're after me. They're going to beat me up. And he said, one of the guys came up and he said, thanks for that song. And he said, that's the first time I realized what it meant.
Doug, do you remember hearing that song? And did it have a meaning like that to you?
Yeah. One of the things we do with the book that we're really pleased with is we put in solo pieces that were some of the most powerful stories we heard from the men and women we interviewed over 10 years. I was lucky enough to get the first solo piece because it was really about this song. And I won't go into all the detail, but this was our anthem. And the amazing thing was that the military, because they wanted to keep our morale up, really enabled us to get access to music 24/7. Now, if you're out in the field, that's a different story. You're fighting a war. Silence is your best friend. But in the rear, when guys in the field rotated back, you had AFVN, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the Adrian Cronauer kind of guy, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
You had cassettes, you had vinyl, and you had live bands. You had touring acts, you had USO, you had Bob Hope. And it was funny because the joke was if a cover band, a Korean band, a Filipino band, a Taiwanese band couldn't play, we got to get out of this place, they get kicked off the stage. If you were in an enlisted men's club or an officer's club and it came time to play the song, you couldn't play it, you were in big trouble.
Here's another song that you might not, I don't know, associate it with the Vietnam War.
I'm a leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times.
Oh, that gives me chills every time I hear that song. That's it's Mary, a Peter, Paul, and Mary,
yes,
I think. And
yes.
Leaving on a Jet Plane, that was John Denver's song. And my husband, a Vietnam War era veteran, told me that that had special significance to him and to many. What was that, Doug?
We had so many songs like this, Joy, that people think of For What It's Worth and I Feel Like I'm Fixing to Die, Rag, The Ballad of the Green Berets. Those songs are in there, but the real, I think, power of the stories that we heard and the emotion came through songs like Leaving on a Jet Plane, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, The Letter, My Girl, things that reminded veterans of somebody they'd left behind, saying goodbye, hoping like heck they'd get back together with their loved one. That song in particular, when we were at LZ Lambeau years ago, which was an event that was put on in part by Wisconsin Public Television, when we played that song, a snippet, everybody sang, just went and sang the song, and the people had tears in their eyes, including a lot of the women with the vets that were there, you know, wives, and saying that was tough for them. They had a tough story to tell, too, at a painful time, and a lot of it was caught up in that song.
And another one that I never thought of when I thought of the Vietnam War.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And I was told that that was the boots that you were wearing as you're trudging through the jungle, I guess.
Yeah, and that frequently happened with songs. It's just one line. It doesn't have to be the whole song. It's not an English paper. You're listening to a song and responding to it. That one was big. It sure didn't hurt that Nancy Sinatra was good looking. She was a pinup. And it definitely didn't hurt in the long run that Nancy Sinatra really did commit herself to the guys in Vietnam. She sang for them there, and ever since she's maintained that connection with Vietnam vets. So that song was a surprise in terms, to me, certainly in terms of how often it came up.
Craig, you wrote right that the music was a place for making, sharing, and even rejecting meanings about the war. For example, people had different responses to, how about this one, The Ballad of the Green Berets. Mm.
Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
So what made that such a polarizing song?
Well, it was a song that was originally incorrectly associated with the support of the war. Barry Sadler was in the service, and he wrote that as a patriotic song. It sounds more like a World War II song than a Vietnam song in many ways. And it was the most popular song of 1966 at the peak of Motown, at the peak of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. That was the number one song in America. It clearly spoke to people. And guys often responded to it initially as a call to arms. They said, I'm going to go serve my country. That sometimes changed.
Yeah, one of the fellows that we talked to, a guy from Madison, said that he thought it was like On Wisconsin. You know, that we were going to march through the field and get to the goal line and win the war and stop communism, get the touchdown. And once he got there and saw what was going on and was on the ground, it had a whole different meaning to him. It sounded hollow. And every other branch of the military is the thing. When you get into the military, you sort of like to pick on one another, have a competition. That song was the most parodied song that we ever came across. You know, the Marines had a take on that song. Different branches of, the Navy did. Other branches of the Army, the Airborne, helicopter pilots. Sometimes it became a very good running joke.
We are talking with Doug Bradley, a Vietnam veteran, former Army journalist, and teacher of a Vietnam-related course at UW-Madison, and Craig Werner, who is a professor and chair of the Afro-American Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We are talking about their book. They are co-authors of We Gotta Get Out of This Place, the soundtrack of the Vietnam War. And we welcome the music that you remember and the meanings. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield, another song from the Vietnam War era. We are talking with the co-authors of the book, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, the soundtrack of the Vietnam War, Craig Werner and Doug Bradley. And For What It's Worth, I remember that as a protest song here at home, the war at home.
One of the things that came very clear as we talked to veterans was that the meanings of songs in Vietnam very often were starkly different from what they were on the home front. And I remember that song as somebody who was involved with the anti-war movement at home, as a song that we organized around. But in Vietnam, it had some very different meanings.
We found that when we teach our class, when we have veterans in the classroom a lot, so the students get to engage with them and hear different stories, because there's just not one Vietnam story. And in two different classes, we had a woman come in, she's known as Sister Sarge, Linda McClanahan, who was in the Army. And she remembers that song when she was growing up in Berkeley, and she was taking a bus downtown, and she saw a protest. And, there was a car burning, and there was other stuff going on. And that song was going through her head, and she decided that she wanted to go to Vietnam, because she didn't want either side telling her this was right or this was wrong, what was going on. She wanted to see for herself, and For What It's Worth was a song she asked us to play. And the next class session or a couple after that, we had a Marine vet come in, a wonderful guy, Bill Earhart. He's written a lot about Vietnam. That was a song he chose. And when he came into the class and talked to our students about it, he said he was home on leave after he'd gotten out of Vietnam. And he was driving around in California with a couple young women, and he heard that song, and he realized that from one of the lyrics in the song that he was the man with the gun over there. Oh. That was about him. So two starkly different experiences, interpretations, two Vietnam veterans, and that's what we kept finding over and over and over again, these different kinds of meanings and impact of this music.
That's interesting, yeah. I'm remembering another song, maybe to set the stage a little bit. I grew up during the Vietnam War era. Sure. I was not of legal age at that time, but my brothers were, and one brother was in the Navy. He enlisted because he thought he didn't have any choice.
Sure.
And two were in college and I think had a deferment at least for a while. And it was a very, very tense time.
Yep.
And I remember this song being played in on our stereo.
Old Sam, need your help again. He's got himself in a terrible jam. Way down yonder in Vietnam. So put down your books and pick up a gun. I'm gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, like a two, like a three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam.
All right, so did that have different meanings to different people?
Yeah, I saw Country Joe and the Fish three or four times as a hippie in Colorado at the time. And like most of my friends, we thought that was an anti-war song, just making fun of the whole thing. And it never occurred to me that Country Joe McDonald was himself a veteran, and that song had specific military meanings.
You know, when we met Joe, he introduced himself to us, and he said, "I'm a veteran first and a hippie second." Which people would have been surprised
by. I did not know that.
And Joe wrote that song because, having been in the military, he intended it as gallows humor, as dark humor. And sometimes when you're in a tough situation, Vietnam, let's say, you know, in a very, very difficult life and death situation, you turn to gallows humor. It's a way for you to get by, for you and your buddies. And that was part of Joe's intention. Well, you know, most Americans never heard. Joe still gets hate mail to this day. But that was, and some Vietnam vets heard it that way. We have wonderful stories in the book because that's one of the songs that keeps coming back. We have decorated Green Beret colonels saying that he played that song for his soldiers to get them fired up. They used to sing it. So, you know, you've really got a spectrum here of not just Joe at Woodstock. You've got people listening to that and hearing it in different ways, Joe intending it in a different way than it was taken.
And at Woodstock at other times, Joe McDonald wore his military jacket. I'm trying to remember what I thought that meant at the time. I sure didn't think it meant he was a veteran.
Yeah.
I never knew. We are talking about the music of the Vietnam War era, and we're talking about the soundtrack of the Vietnam War. Are you a Vietnam veteran or era veteran? Are you... do you know someone who was? Do you have a song from that era that's particularly powerful to you? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Go ahead and post a YouTube of the song if you want to. It'd be nice to hear them too. Ray in Rhinelander is with us. Hi, Ray.
Hi, this is brings back memories. First of all, I want to honor one of your guests for serving in Vietnam. I was not in Vietnam. I was brought up around Milwaukee, and it was the music. The music, bridge, I thought, helped to bridge the gap between the war in Vietnam and the war at home. It was a big deal back then. Those were the grinder years, 67, 68, 69, of the draft. I had 12 classmates that went over there, and 4 came back. The whole thing is what I'm trying to get at is that a lot of us use the music to help to bridge the gap between the war there and the war here. Most of us were not against the soldier. We were against the war, obviously. So were they after a while. Let's be real. The whole thing of it is it was a very emotional time. It brings back a lot of memories, and I want to emphasize and thank you for doing this because the music did not really separate us. When I was at at Woodstock, I talked to Country Joe McDonald. He told me a story. You know, I was doing stage security there. So there was a lot of stuff going on with the music related to that. So my emphasis on this, thank you very much for doing this because the book did help to bridge the gap between the war there and the war at home and all of us.
Wow.
If it weren't for the music, I think it would have been worse. So I can't thank you enough.
And Ray, I thank you for your call. You had a couple of examples of songs too that you wanted to share, didn't you?
Well, we got to get out of this place by the animals. I mean, that was the song. I mean, everybody sang it here. We wanted to get out of here sometimes too, you know, because of all the crap going on. But I think that movie Platoon with Smokey Robinson, The Miracles, and a lot of there's a lot of songs in there. There were some songs in Apocalypse Now, and I talked to my vet friends and that, and they says, yeah, some of that stuff happened. Yeah, some of those songs, especially that part in Platoon when they're all standing around smoking the bong and the tears of clown and Smokey Robinson playing. I mean, there was four guys that said, yeah, we remember moments like that. That's how it was. No. You know, it was quite a time. So anyway,
thank you very much. And he's very grateful you put the book together. He thinks the music did not separate us. It brought us together.
I have to agree because and thanks Ray for the call and the music shout outs, especially Smokey Robinson, who was just recognized this past week at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They had a special program about him, and Smokey has said publicly about how much he appreciated the support and the encouragement and the thanks that he got from veterans, and likewise we want to thank Smokey. I think that was the thing. What's wonderful about, I think, what the book represents and what we heard is that we all had the same soundtrack. Whether you were there, whether you were here, whether you participated, whether you protested, and all across the spectrum, we heard the same music. We listened to the same songs. Now, it had some different meaning, and I tend to agree with Ray and I've learned that over the course of the past 10 years of writing this book with Craig, that music was a way for us to connect and not necessarily divide. Now, we've rewritten a lot of that history. Movies have something to do with that, popular culture. But there were, you know, there was more association with us. And I, as a veteran and being in Vietnam in 70 and 71, I thought there were people back here that genuinely wanted to bring me home.
Anything to add, Craig?
Yeah, I played with a rock and roll band in Colorado Springs, which is a military town. And we played a lot of gigs for soldiers at Fort Carson. And that really taught me, you know, just on a real basic level, that the music did connect us. But it also taught me that it didn't mean exactly the same thing. That was certainly by the end of the war, there was a large GI anti-war movement. But that GI anti-war movement connected only with some difficulty with the home front anti-war movement. And so it's kind of a yes and no. Ray's point is absolutely on target, but it was complex.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or would like to remember a special song to you that was popular during the Vietnam War era. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Doug Bradley and Craig Werner, the co-authors of We Gotta Get Out of This Place, the soundtrack of the Vietnam War. Mike in Kakana is with us. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead. What music do you remember?
Well, there's just so many. It is a litany of music. I served as an Army medic in Vietnam in 1968. And I still remember, I was not in the field. I was in two different medical units taking care of GIs. And we always got a kick out of the Armed Forces Network radio station in Vietnam. I think for the most part, they would only play what we called bubblegum rock and roll, which was the soft rock and not any of the protest or their harder rock related to that era. And the GIs never wanted to listen to that because it had no connection whatsoever. We would listen to the Beatles and the Stones and Gracie Slick and Janis Joplin and Iron Butterfly and the Stones. And it just goes on and on and on. And all the soul music was fantastic in that time, too. It was an escape for us, but every time we hear that music now, it puts you back immediately. We do a lot of presentations to high school groups with our Vietnam Vets group about the war, and we always play our music at different times during the presentation, and I can see the young people light up and connect with it immediately. And when we get done, I always tell them, you know, we're privileged to let you listen to our music. it's really something. It really gave us a respite in that terrible place.
Well, I find that fascinating that you have you go to schools and you play the music. Do you know each other?
No. We've done this for years. Our Vietnam Vets group out of Appleton, we probably go to 12 high schools a year and put on all-day presentations about the war, class after class, and we have a huge display of Vietnam War memorabilia that we haul into each school and do that. And it's really acted as a healing element for us. It's cathartic. It's a terrific experience.
Well, thank you for your ongoing service.
Yes, and welcome home, Jim. Thanks for that.
Back to you.
a medic in Vietnam. That's one of the most difficult things. So we have some really poignant commentaries by similar vets. And one that I recall and how it connects with music. A fellow named Howard Chirpy, who was a medic in Vietnam, a close friend of ours, Vietnam vet. He had been through a really, really terrible day, and at the end of the night, the lyric from the old Sam Cooke song, Another Saturday Night, came into his head. And, you know, in the song, Sam Cooke says, Another Saturday Night and I Ain't Got Nobody.
Oh, yeah.
And when Howard, after he still had blood under his fingernails from having dealt with casualties that day, started singing in his head, Another Saturday Night and I Got All Bloody. I got all bloody and I feel some pain. I'm in an awful way. I mean, that's never going to go away.
Chills.
For him.
And the book closes with a solo from a Vietnam medic who was present in Vietnam when one of the very small number of women who was killed in Vietnam was killed. She was a friend of his. And just medics carried so much burden, and the guys were so appreciative to what you did. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, very much for the call. When we talked 8 years ago, you were setting out to also have some sort of maybe even a CD or a soundtrack of maybe the top 20. did that ever happen?
Well, the realities of permissions costs means that there's no CD with it. But there is a set of videos and a great mashup of Vietnam songs juxtaposed with news footage from Vietnam on our website, wggoot.com, the initials of the song. And we also, when we started out, we thought it was going to be a top 20. It turned into a top 200, a top 2,000. We realized that just didn't do justice to the complexities.
Yeah. Mike mentioned that that Armed Forces Radio was playing bubblegum stuff, and you mentioned that in the book, but don't you say that later it did shift to rock and roll?
Again, like as I was saying, the there was a great book a couple years ago by a woman named Meredith Lair called Armed with Abundance, and it really talks about sort of hip militarism and what the Army wanted to do to try to keep us engaged and our morale up. So we had access to buying radios and reel-to-reel tape decks and cassette decks and heading, like I said, live music. So music was there for us all the time, and we had access to it. And it's the kind of thing that it sort of permeated the airwaves. And AFVN, a lot of these guys were disc jockeys at home, and they came over there. They really pushed the boundaries. Now they had some tough times. They had censorship, and that waxes and wanes. We have some great testimonies from DJs in here, men and women too, women donut dollies who played on some of the bases, and it got better. And then we had underground DJs, which was really fascinating. The fact that you could have this happen in Vietnam of all places. So we still have run the gamut of the opinions, but I'd like to think that a lot of these guys did what they could to keep us going.
Yeah. Another story, Doug. You know my husband, Rob mm-hmm. Starbuck. He was in the Air Force. He was a sergeant. He was stationed in Okinawa during in the early 70s when
not far away.
Yeah, but he wanted to be in Armed Forces Radio because he was a radio guy. He knew how to do radio. So of course they made him a military policeman.
Sounds.
But anyway, and he mentioned that along the watchtower. That was a very special song to him.
Sure.
We don't have that, but we do have this. Let's listen. So, Jimi Hendrix and Purple Haze was a song of significance?
Absolutely. Again, another one of those stories that people don't know. Hendrix, again, was in the military, like a lot of people that
generation. I did not know that.
He was a very bad soldier. And he wanted to play his guitar and not be a soldier, so the Army got rid of him relatively quickly. But that experience had an impact on him, like it did many of the men in that generation. And Hendrix had a sound that Vietnam vets could identify with. I mean, if you listen to songs like Machine Gun, for example, and the Star Spangled Banner version that he plays at Woodstock, it's really rooted in war, in militarism, in battle. But he also connected him with Purple Haze, is another one of those songs that I won't take too long with it, but it's got multiple levels and interpretations. You know, it was a drug song in America. That's how people heard it. It was about a form of LSD. Well, it was also, there were M-18 grenades in Vietnam that you put in landing zones, and one of the colors was purple. So Purple Haze, for some guys in Vietnam, was about the smoke grenades they were putting out at landing zones so helicopters could land. So Hendrix, all you mentioned All Along the Watchtower, great Dylan song, you know, there must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the... it's another one of those lines from a song we talked about, These Boots Are Made for Walking. That really rings true for a lot of guys in Vietnam hearing that song.
We need to take a short break, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation with Doug Bradley and Craig Werner, co-authors of We Gotta Get Out of This Place, the soundtrack of the Vietnam War. Do you have a question? Do you have a memory? Do you have a song you'd like to share? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
So the Ring of Fire was a Vietnam War song.
Yeah, for many of the veterans, it was. And part of that was simply Johnny Cash's presence. Johnny Cash is somebody who went to Vietnam. Mm. He wrote several songs that were explicitly about Vietnam. His signature song, Man in Black, has a line in it, each day we lose 100 fine young men. And when he went to Vietnam, he went as a supporter of the war. When he saw what was going on, he came back and he said, I'm not exactly a dove, but I'm a dove with claws at this point.
Oh, my goodness.
But Ring of Fire is one of those songs that tied in with a lot that was going on. The air war, the Ring of Fire, the parachuting. In Vietnam, the primary mode of transportation was the helicopter. So people were flying over and literally looking down on rings of fire all the time. So the song connected on levels that were absolutely obscure at home.
I can visualize that right now, yeah. Let's go to Jim in Janesville now. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for this show. The music is evocative. That's why it's lasted all these years. I wanted to mention a couple of songs that keep coming back to me through this time period. Creedence Clearwater Revival was kind of a famous deal for Fortunate Son as a protest song. And I wanted to mention one other one that is really evocative and kind of spooky. It's Run Through the Jungle. That one's really kind of brings forth, you know, it makes you feel closed in, and it makes you feel the fear, and it makes you feel all those sort of things that, you know, that's why we have music, is to relate our feelings in a different way. So anyway, I just wanted to pass that along. Those are thoughts I had. Thank you to all the veterans. I'm a veteran, non-war time, but thank you to all the veterans out there. I'd like to just celebrate all the veterans today for all they've done. And again, thank you for the show, Joy.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for your service, too. Yeah.
I talked to one vet, and I asked him about music in Vietnam. He said you could sum it up in two words, Creedence Clearwater.
Really? So
and,
why?
Yeah. Well, Creedence, again, part of that was that John Fogerty, their lead guitarist, singer, songwriter, and Doug Clifford, their drummer, were both in the service. Neither went to Vietnam, but they were both in the service, and they had a deep connection with the guys in Vietnam. Run Through the Jungle, interesting. I wrote an oral history of Creedence Clearwater a few years back, and Fogerty said to me that that song was not about Vietnam. He said that was about violence on the streets of America. And again, that kind of underlines just how music evokes different things for different people. The other song I'd add to that, and I know Doug will say something about it, is Who'll Stop the Rain?
Which is the song that we end our course with every semester. The other great thing about Creedence was it was a group that could cut across musical divisions. One of the things we talk about in the book that really hasn't come up here yet is how sometimes, even though music had this wonderful connective power, there were also divisions around music. And Creedence was one of those groups that the different divisions, country and hard rock and acid rock and soul and others, could come together around Creedence. So one of the groups, and of course Fortunate Son, which is an absolutely great song. We have a couple of wonderful sections in there because Chesty Fuller's son wrote his, when he wrote his autobiography, it was he called it Fortunate Son.
Let's take a listen to... This is another protest song, but at least I've always associated it as a protest song.
Where have all the young men gone? They're all in uniform. Oh, when will we ever learn? Oh, when will we ever learn?
And Rick on Facebook asks, while the songs of Vietnam served as a rallying point for GIs and the anti-war movement, what do you make of the lack of songs about Iraq and Afghanistan? I thought that song might be a good lead into that comment.
Yeah, let's say something about that song, and then we'll talk about that, because we were fortunate to have two TAs who are post 9/11 vets, and we can talk about how they feel about their soundtrack. But Where Have All the Flowers Gone? There is a incredible scene in CBS, John Lawrence and a CBS reports, during the siege of Khe Sanh, when for 56 days a group of Marines were surrounded by a North Vietnamese battalion and under siege, 56 days of mortar and rocket fire. Can imagine what that was like, the ground shaking every day. And one of the guys grabs a guitar and starts playing Where Have All the Flowers Gone. And he and his fellow soldiers, Marines, start to sing that song. I mean, it's as powerful and emotional a moment as I think there is in that war. And it's testament to song being able to help people to get through a tough situation.
I think that the music of Iran and Afghanistan, I think, first of all, there's every bit as much good, relevant music being made. There's a great hip-hop group called Fourth Quarter, a group called System of a Down, which is very popular with a lot of vets. What's different is the media world we're in, that during Vietnam it was a shared soundtrack. Everybody heard Johnny Cash, everybody heard James Brown, everybody heard the Beatles. Today, it is a fragmented soundtrack.
Right.
Guys go back from the front, women in Iraq and Afghanistan, they plug in their iTunes, listen to their own music, and the mass media outlets are not going to touch it today.
Yep, it's their own playlist.
Yeah, interesting. I never thought of that. Jackie in Drummond is with us. Hi, Jackie.
Yes, you know what? When I called in, I had the wrong name. I said Steve Oakes. I was wondering if Bill Oakes is mentioned in your book. He had a short-lived life, but he wrote songs about Vietnam, and one of his blues songs was Talking Vietnam. Are you familiar with Phil Oakes?
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Draft Dodger Rag, a bunch of them. Folk music is an interesting part of this because it was never really popular. It wasn't the radio music at the time. Right. So to be Phil Oakes, to be a Phil Oakes fan, you were probably on a college campus or in a big city. But what we found with Phil Oakes and with Dylan's early stuff, Masters of War with God on Our Side, is that GIs with guitars frequently played that stuff for their units in the back. So it's an odd little niche.
Because it was the music. It was sort of the coffee house scene and folk music. And as Craig pointed out, we have a wonderful early part of the war, a guy named Marty Hoyer, who was in a group called the High-Priced Help. They were officers, hence the title of the group, who played music for their fellow pilots, helicopter pilots, in Vietnam. And there were competitions. There were sing-alongs. There were changes in lyrics because it came out of that folk tradition. Folk music was played. Phil Oakes and Bob Dylan and Joan Baez would, and Pete Seeger would... their songs would get played and get covered. So it's just another interesting twist on the soundtrack.
Let me play a song. Tell me about Hello Vietnam by
Johnny Wright.
Johnny Wright. Well, let's play a little bit and then we'll talk about it.
America has trouble to be stopped. We must stop communism in that land.
So that's not a protest song.
No,
that is the domino effect. We got to go and we got to go fight.
That's how we got in Vietnam. We, you know, communism had to be stopped somewhere, and if we didn't stop it there, it'd be San Francisco. A lot of people know that song because it's the opening scene in Full Metal Jacket by Stanley Kubrick. But as we realized, we mentioned the song in the book, that some of the early music that come out of the music industry in the early parts of the war was music like this, that, you know, this was our duty. This came out of our World War II fathers, some of our uncles who were in Korea. And that is, when your country called and there was some foe out there that was like Nazism or communism, you had to stand up and fight for it. So the songs are kind of simple, kind of basic. Most of them are country songs, but it's pretty much about this early part of the war, that this is what you need to do. We have no details about Vietnam, but we know it's the Red Purge, and we have to stop them.
We have Rich on Facebook who says, do your guests have any testimony from Vietnam vets who became pacifists because of their service in Vietnam and possibly the music, much of it largely anti-war? The reason I ask is that the national organization, Veterans for Peace, is loaded with former soldiers who became pacifists. More recently, so is Iraq Veterans Against the War.
Yes, many stories of people who follow that path. Bill Earhart, who Doug mentioned earlier, a Marine who was in the middle of the combat, came back, and he's one of the most fiercely pacifistic people I know, and I say that intentionally.
Yeah.
That he hasn't lost any of his ferocity, but he's very much anti-war.
Yeah. Bill Christofferson, who's a name a lot of people know, is a Marine Vietnam vet. Bill was very active in Vets for Peace in Milwaukee. Will Williams here in the Madison area, and I think that's you can't go through that experience and not be moved and by it. And sometimes it shakes you to your core. And I think it was part of the reason for the emergence of Vietnam Vets Against War, and I think organizations like Vets for Peace. And the point is, it has carried over. There are some very active not as large and maybe not as well known, but Iraq and Afghanistan Vets Against the War movement as well. So, yeah, it's there in the book, it's there in the music, and it's definitely present in people's lives.
Let's go to the phones again, and Claire in Madison joins us now. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Joy. Thank you. I am sitting here smiling at the beautiful, excellent music and crying at the same time because I was there then. I was not in the service. Let me make that clear. But I knew so many guys that either never made it back from Nam or were so screwed up in the head when they got back. And thank you for having this show, especially on today. While I was on hold, I thought of a song I think might have been a protest song, the Okie from Muskogee.
Was that really?
Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
an interesting story.
It was a protest against the anti-war movement.
It was an anti-anti-war.
That's what that was,
so,
yeah. yeah. And that's a distinction that comes through when you talk to people in the music, is that pro-war and anti-war is only the tip of the iceberg. Anti-anti-war was every bit as powerful there.
Anti-anti-war, meaning that it was...
People who didn't like the war and didn't like the anti-war movement either.
Oh, I see.
And Merle Haggard's an interesting case. Then yeah. he had another song called Fight Inside of Me.
Yeah.
And then later sort of basically said, you know, you got me wrong in terms yeah. of where I stand.
And when Merle played Madison at the beginning of the Iraq-Afghanistan war, he made his stance against the war very, very clear.
But, you know, the other point she made, and I think that's part of the reason for the book and wanting to get it out now, we could have kept writing and kept listening to folks, is that we need to bring these men and women home. It's been, for me, 45 years ago today, I landed in Vietnam, and 44 years ago today, I came home. It's been 45 or more years, and some people still haven't been able to tell their stories. We need to bring them back, and we're hoping the book can help with that, but it's one of the sad legacies of that war.
Talk just a little bit more about that on this Veterans Day. Who still needs to come back?
Well, it's the nature of what happened at that yeah. time. We've, I think, sort of outlined it a little bit through the music mm-hmm. and the polarization, and then all the reclamation that different groups have done and different political opinions have done over the course of the last 4 or 5 decades. And the reality is that a lot of these guys went and didn't go willingly. But they went and they did their duty, and they came back, and the country just did not want to hear about their experience, did not want to realize that, you know, that we had lost, that that maybe that it was because of the way they were bad soldiers, a variety of reasons. And they have not been able to, I think, to really heal. People haven't listened to them, haven't opened their hearts to them, haven't tried to understand what they went through. I mean, we would go from, you could be in the field one day and you could be back in your home community the next. That's not the kind of transition you need when you're in a situation like Vietnam. And so I think we have 58,000 names on the wall, and we you know, we pay respects to them and honor their service every day. But there were as many or more who came back that we could have saved, I think, if we'd have reached out a little bit more. And they're not with us either.
We just have a minute to go. Craig, how are the songs of Vietnam still resonating, 40, 50 years later?
I think Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, which is one of those songs and albums that help bring people home. And at the end of the album, it cycles back into the start of the album. And it is the story of a veteran coming home, Marvin's brother Frankie. And unfortunately, we're still living through that same reality. So I think helping to heal.
Well, that's where we'll leave it. Craig Werner and Doug Bradley, co-authors of We Gotta Get Out of This Place, the soundtrack of the Vietnam War. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Bill Martins for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening, and thank you, veterans, for your service. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.